That everybody's had a good week and good to be in the house of the Lord and have this opportunity to visit and fellowship with the Lord's saints. But I trust and pray most importantly to have this opportunity to praise our Lord and in praising give him thanksgiving for all of our many blessings. Not only our blessings, timely blessings, but also the expected end of our life and the promise of eternal blessings that are to come. I'd like to talk to you this morning about a subject that I'm sure that you've heard many, many, many times. I want to talk to you about a total depravity. You may, I'm sure, are probably aware, of course, that many years ago, there was a development of an acronym that we refer to as the TULIP that we use to talk about the doctrines and that we believe in as a type of a summation or a way for us to keep those things in mind. Of course, it's the first letter T. It stands for total depravity. That's kind of a hard place to begin, in a way, when talking about about salvation by grace. Really, in all honesty, a total sermon about all of those things, I would say would need to begin with God, who is the reason that we have our hope and our salvation. Because whatever those doctrines teach us, they're only viable, they're only believable, and they're only going to be carried out in practice because of who God is and not because of who we are. the bottom line is, like it's been said so many times before, when it comes to the understanding of these kinds of things, we have to recognize and realize, that we have done all the sinning, and God has done all the saving. That's just the way it is. We also have to understand, and I know that you know this, that our belief in a thing is not what makes it so. God exists not because we believe in God, but if we believe in God, it's because God exists. And if we believe in salvation by grace, our belief in salvation by grace doesn't make salvation by grace true. But we believe in it because we understand that salvation by grace is true. We believe, in fact, believe/understand, that the sun rises in the east. Our belief and understanding of that doesn't make the sun rise in the east. It rises in the east because that's the way God made it and created it to be. And we believe in that and understand it because that's the way it is. So much of the time, we can and man can get confused about the doctrines of the Bible because we get too much of ourselves into it, of course, and we want to make it like we want it to be instead of reading it like it is. Yes, sometimes that can be hard. And this is one of those subjects that for man, whomever we are, to talk about our total depravity, to talk about what we are by nature and so forth, it can be hard. I think that should be admissible. Of course, understanding that, sometimes it's not so hard, and other times it is hard. And of course, the reason that is because of God's grace in blessing us to understand what we are by nature. If we don't have that, if we don't have the blessing of the grace of God to help us work through those kinds of things, then we're just in big trouble. We'll be we'll either be so lost that we'll be like Brother Sonny Piles used to say, you know, like a termite in a yo-yo. We'll know which way is up and which way is down, no matter where we're at on the string. Or we'll be so conceited and be so pharisaical that, you know, we'll be of no use that way either. You know, in listening to the prayer request this morning, you know, it came to my mind that, of course, when it comes to our human condition, we know that disease and injuries and those kinds of things are just a part of the world that we live in because of total depravity, because of sin. The point I'm after in that is, you know, as different ones' names and their situation was brought to our attention, there were several comments made about, well, they're scheduled to see a doctor, they're scheduled to go have this test run, and so forth. Well, that's part of the process, isn't it? That when we begin to realize that we have a problem, and that problem may not be obvious, or even if we have a good idea, that's what it is, our way and method of getting to the root of a problem as to how we need to care for it is, first of all, to identify the problem, to identify what the situation is. That, you know, a lot of people have suffered needlessly from the medical profession because what their condition was either misdiagnosed or it was mistook for something else or just completely missed it. And a lot of times, you know, we all perhaps even personally could give testimony to the fact that we've been treated for something that was never wrong with us in the first place. And that can be dangerous, as we know. And when it comes to the understanding of Scripture, and when it comes to understanding of our relationship and even our fellowship with God, the God of the Bible, who is the God of creation, of course, who is the only God, the only one true and living God, it's important for us to understand and to accept and to believe the way things really are. And not try to make them, we shouldn't try to make them something that they're not. You know, I've never gotten the sense, and personally as far as myself is to believe, you know, I'm not happy with the fact that I understand that I'm a total depraved sinner. You know, that's just not something that I go around every day just, you know, hugging trees for. You know, I am thankful that God's blessed me to understand that that's what I am. But I'm not really happy about that that's what I am. But I am thankful, as I said, that I can understand that that's who I am. I'm a totally depraved sinner by nature. I was born in this world that way, and I'll leave this world that way. You know, I'm going to go ahead and say this, since I said that, the blessing is that whenever I leave this world, that's what I'll leave in this world. See? The hope that I have is the blessing of believing that when I leave this world, that all the mess and all the grief and all the heartaches as far as my depraved nature is concerned, I'm going to leave it behind. Amen. And of course, you know, when you're talking about the doctrines of grace, you know, you eventually get to the resurrection, and the blessing of the resurrection is that whenever these bodies are resurrected, they're not going to come out of the grave a total depraved body. No. Not going to come out of the grave a sinful body. They're going to come out of the grave a glorified body. All that now is, as far as the condition, the result, etc., of my sin will be forever left behind. You know, nothing like the preacher getting ahead of himself. Okay, total depravity. Well, let's turn to certainly familiar verses of Scripture. One thing about total depravity is whether your neighbor likes it or not, whether your best friend likes it or not, whether the people you work with like it or not, we're all in the same company. Okay? And we know that by Scripture. Romans chapter 3, we begin reading with verse 10. Well, let's begin with verse 9. What then, are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, or that word proved means, by the Apostle Paul here, means charged. Not just shown, you know, not just said, you know, this is for your consideration. Paul is saying by using that word proved is that, listen, this is the way it is. You know, like I've been trying to say, you know, to understand if a condition that we have can be cured or made better or made to go away, we're going to have to understand what the ailment is, you know, because if we try to treat it with something that has nothing to do with the ailment, chances are it either make it worse or have no effect on it whatsoever. So he said, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved or charged that both, and I'm adding the word that, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. That they are all under sin. Now this word all is an interesting word. There are instances when it means every. There are instances when it does not mean every. This is one of those instances when it means every. But it means the word all. You might say, well, why didn't he say, you know, that everyone is under sin instead of using the word all? Well, I like to think about it this way. I believe that the Holy Spirit blessed Paul to use the word all to show us not just every in a blanket sense, but all in the sense that everyone in particular. It doesn't matter who they are. You know, Donald Trump. Yeah, I believe that God blessed Donald Trump to be our president for these past few years, and I'm praying he'll be our president for the next 4 years. Now, he's done a lot of great things, but a saint he is not. In the sense that, you know, he can be pretty, he can push people's buttons. Now I say a saint he is not. I think he's a pretty good feller, considering how far, you know, pretty good fellows are. And considering, you know, where he's lived and the people he's had to put up with, etc. But the point is, you know, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter how smart you are. It doesn't matter how smart you're not. You know, all are under consideration. They are all under sin. And of course, that word under means that it's like we're all American citizens, and we're all under the laws of America, of the United States of America. The laws of the United States of America apply to us all, you know. Now, all of them apply to some degree, but they may not all affect us to the same degree that it affects others. And of course, you know, there's a lot that we could say about that. But when it comes to mankind, when it comes to Adam's descendants, Paul says we have proved, and not only proved and shown, but we've charged. This is a charge, Paul says. I'm not just giving you this for your consideration. I'm letting you know this is the way it is. That all Jews and Gentiles are under sin. In sin, this word has, as I understand it, has a Hebrew parallel. And it's like whenever Jonah was swallowed by the whale. And he was found, and he went into the depths. Okay? And he was surrounded by water. Totally, completely. You know, he wasn't just beneath the surface. I mean, he went to the depths. You know, he said, out of the depths of hell, he cried. All right? That's what this means, that they are all under sin. In other words, another way that this word could be defined is like being buried, which is like, you know, what Jonah was. That, you know, whenever, you know, these our beloved ones here, they are under, you know, those tombstones. They are under the earth. And that's the way we all are. We're under sin. We're buried in sin. We're not, you know, we're not just swimming in the water. We are buried under the water. You know, that's the point. That's the idea that Paul is putting forth. Listen, you know, you're buried in sin. You know, you're completely covered and totally immersed. Like when you're baptized, as we believe in immersion. We not only believe in immersion as far as baptism is concerned, we believe in immersion when it comes to total depravity, that we immersed. And then, you know, as Paul in his a classic way, you know, he says the same. He drives home the same point by saying it different ways over and over again. They are all under sin, as is written, there's none righteous. Okay, Paul, what do you mean by none? Not one. Not one. there is none. There is none righteous. No, not one. Now, this word righteous also is another interesting word. This is a law term. You know, this is not just a statement of your condition. As far as the law is concerned, Paul said, there's none righteous. This doesn't just have to do with your not living right or being a righteous person. This is that as he says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Well, if you're not in Christ Jesus, well, then you're condemned. And, of course, we're all condemned as far as sin's concerned. But the law of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God has saved us from that law. And that therefore, he says, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And of course, that's why, you know, that's important. And it's important for us to understand this so that we can appreciate the importance of Romans chapter 8, verse 1. That there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Because if you're not in Christ Jesus, then you're in your sins. And you'll stay in your sins. You'll spend eternity in your sins. You'll spend eternity suffering for your sins. Unless you've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. There's none that, he says, not only that, there's none righteous. They're all under sin. There's none righteous, no, not one. Not only that, there's none that understandeth. There's none that understandeth. That's an amazing thing about this condition. But it's kind of like, you know, from time to time, and maybe more often than my mind can embrace, but from time to time, as far as our physical health is concerned, we can have things wrong with us and not be aware of it. You know, we can just be living. You know, how many times, you know, people have gone to the doctor in their later years of life and you know, they something's bothering them and they do all the tests and everything, and they say, well, you've got so-and-so. And you probably had it all your life. Well, that's the, there's none that understandeth. You know, we really don't, understand. We really don't, as much as we mourn for our sin, our human capacity to truly embrace the depth of the judgment of God against sin, we just can't do it. Amen? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And you say, well, preacher, why is that so important? Because we need to understand what sin is and what God's judgment against sin is. What is total depravity? I believe that I'm totally depraved as far as my nature, my human nature is concerned. But do I really understand the depth of what that is? Maybe I don't, but I assure you God does. Okay? There's none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. You know, man by nature, sometimes we like to paint a pretty picture about, there's some good in everybody. Well, that's not what Paul said. He said there's no good in anybody. Aside from the grace of God, there wouldn't be. That's, do we understand that? The depth, the awfulness of sin and what it meant. And one of the things that blows my mind, if you allow me to use that expression in thinking about it, one error. One. By one man, sin entered into the world. And it wasn't because that one man spent a whole life in disobeying God. He disobeyed God one time. And that was the first time. Just one act of disobedience. By one man's disobedience, sin entered into the world. Just one act. The next time you think, the next time I think, well, just this one time, just this one thing, remember what Adam, maybe he was thinking that. Just this one time. That's all it took. And the depravity of the human race is here because of the result of that one act. They're all gone out of the way. There is none that seeketh God, seeketh after God. Man by his nature, our nature is depraved. Sin has depraved our nature. But we still got to remember that we're what God created us. I mean, we're man. God created mankind. He said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. He didn't say, let us make children of God in our image and after our likeness. He said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And so we're created in the image of God. That's one reason why that abortion is so deplorable. The taking of human life, murder, is so deplorable. If there's anything that God hates, it's when men take life from other men whom God has made in his own image and after his likeness. Okay, there's none that seeketh after God. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we know that this world would be far worse shaped than what it is, and we can only imagine what it would be, especially when we understand Paul's statements and statements like the Apostle Paul makes here and others throughout the Scripture, that there is none that seeketh after God. Seeketh after God. Well, usually when you're seeking something, it's to find something. And usually if you're seeking after something to find it, it's because you realize you have a realization it's something you've lost, something you need, something you're aware of that you need to find. Well, if that's true, and I believe it is, I believe I've given you a correct definition there, then what Paul is saying, listen, man by nature, he doesn't know God. He's not going to try to find God. Amen? I mean, that's again, think about that when it comes to sin, the depth of sin. Sin and death equal separation. Not only separation in time to come, but separation here in time. That sin separated man from God. It separated all mankind from God. And not just from, I mean, just totally separate. Why do men do the things that they do? Why do men go around living like there's no God? Because as far as they're concerned, there is no God. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. Now, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. Again, he defines what he means. And in the context there, and closing, one thing that the Apostle Paul points out, he says, listen, when it comes to seeking after God, when it comes to this subject, he said it's an individual matter and it's a collective matter. You know, in other words, it doesn't just apply to a few individuals. It applies to all mankind. It applies to us all. And as long as we live in this body of death, that's what Paul calls it at the end of Romans chapter 7. As long as we live in this body of death, that's where we live. That's who we are. Regeneration doesn't do away with that. If regeneration did away with that, then we'd have to explain why we die anyhow, okay, when it comes to the end of this life. Regeneration doesn't do away with that. Regeneration just gives that which ought to be done away with, our sinful life, hope that it will be done away with. Not in this life, but in the life to come. You know, in closing, I like to think about this. You know, Paul goes through those three or four chapters, and several times he basically says this same thing, but in different ways. There's none good. They're all going out of the way. There's none that seeketh after God, and so forth. But God, by his grace, sending his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world, he saves us from that. He saved us from that. And blesses us by that to do the opposite of that. And not only to do the opposite of that here in time, but to have the hope and the expectation that we'll spend eternity doing the opposite of that, of seeking after God, of being able to, you know, to have fellowship with God, to have, instead of God not being in our thoughts, to have God in our thoughts all the time. You know, instead of cursing God, blessing God, praising God. Yeah. Instead of wanting to get away from God, from the idea of God, wanting to know more about God and to love him and to praise him and to worship him. And of course, it's all by God's grace. And the point is total depravity totally takes us out of the picture of salvation as far as being saved or getting saved or even wanting to be saved. But God's grace is greater than our depravity. And he saved us. He made a covenant to save us. He told us about his promise to save us. He fulfilled that promise in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to bring it to completion when he comes back the second time. And we'll spend eternity praising him for his salvation. May the Lord add his blessings.